Last week, I talked about so you can know love. And true love starts with getting to know this incarnate Jesus. But this week, I've got another thing that I want to add on to that. And so what I gather from this piece of scripture is this, and here's the premise of the series, that conviction starts with incarnation. Conviction starts with incarnation. Luke is saying this, I want to convince you, O man of influence. Theophilus is some sort of man of influence, as he is called, honorable Theophilus. And he says, I want to convince you that Jesus is who he said he is. And so in order to convince you, in order for conviction to come in your soul, I've got to start with incarnation. That's the beginning. Now, what is incarnation? It's a real fancy theological word for this, deity becoming humanity. It is God becoming flesh and dwelling among us. That's what incarnation means. And so, in fact, I like to say it this way, that the fact that incarnation is the foundation of our salvation. And so I'm going to talk more about that next week, that incarnation is the foundation of our salvation. So next week we have two experiences. I really want to encourage you to come out. And more than that, take our invites on your way out. Make sure you invite your friends who are in town. Make sure you invite your family and your coworkers and let them know that, listen, Christmas is a great time to come out. In fact, many people are inclined to come out to church during Christmas time, even more so than Easter nowadays, stats say. So your friends are never more primed for you to invite them to come to church, okay? We'll send out social graphics, and you can share that to make it easy. But more important than a social graphic is actually having an invite card and a face-to-face invite. There are so many of us here serving God in church because somebody invited us face to face. You can be that for someone else. So that's going to be good. We're going to talk all about that next week. So if incarnation is the foundation of salvation, and that's where conviction starts with, then we need to look at the incarnation story, okay? Luke chapter 1. We're going to go through a bunch of scriptures, and then I'll break it down for you, okay? But I'm really excited about what God wants us to learn this morning. Say, I'm ready. All right, Luke chapter 1. It says this in 26 through 28. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth. Who sent the angel? All right, who sent the angel? Okay, and he sent the angel to Nazareth, which is a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel went to her and said, that word right there, said, I want to call it a verb. I'm not sure if it's a verb or not. We're going to call it a verb, all right? That word said, you need to underline that because went's a verb too, okay? I need some English teachers up in here. Are there two verbs in there? I don't know. It's probably wrong, but we're going with that. Underline that word said if you've got your Bible open, or underline the scripture because heaven comes and says something. Listen. This is huge, and I'm going to spend the rest of the morning breaking down to you why this is so pivotal, that an angel would come and say this to her, greetings, you are highly favored, the Lord is with you. And so the title of today's message is So You Can Know God's Voice. Incarnation came so you can know God's voice. Will you pray with me? God, we want you to move right now. I want you to replace my voice with your voice. God, I want you to speak into all of our lives, something that will move us, something that will mold us and shape us more into your image. I'm asking, God, that we become closer to you and that we hear from you. I want everyone to hear a personal, tailor-made message in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. See, why is an angel speaking such a big deal? In order to do that, I've got to take you back throughout history and throughout biblical history. In the book of Genesis, starting with the second chapter, we know that Adam and Eve are created. This is mankind. After on the sixth day, he's created. God rests on the seventh. And what Scripture tells us is that there was a relationship going on between God and man. There was communion going on. There was conversation going on. There was dwelling going on. There was just hanging and chilling going on. If Netflix was created then, they were just chilling out, and they're just spending time together, right? They are, man and God were meant to be close together, but the problem is, as we know, sin was introduced into the mix. And the moment sin's introduced, sin introduces separation. Sin introduces shame. Sin introduces hiding. Again, next week I'll go into this more thoroughly. But as for today, sin introduced a gap in communication, a disturbance in communication. You ever been tight with one of your friends and you know they told the secret that you told them never to tell, and you know they told it? What does that do to your communication, right? Everything starts to shut down. Everything's on eggshells. Like, are you going to tell this to somebody else too? I don't even trust you. What did you do right there? Like, communication is strained, to say the least. And every time sin is introduced by man, every time it goes further and further, see, once sin starts, it's like Pandora's box. Once it's open, the next sin becomes easier than the first sin. You know what I'm talking about, right? We've all been down this road before. The first time we wandered into a new sin, it was difficult. We knew better. But the second time was a little easier. By the third, the fourth, the fifth, the 500th time, we don't even think about it when we get into it. That is what happened to God's people, that so much so that by the time Moses is introduced to the scene, people know that when God shows up, I am dirty. I am filthy. I can't even be in his presence. And so they willingly forfeit their rights to communicate with their creator and their God. It says this in Exodus chapter 20. They said, Moses, you're far more holy than us. I know you probably got mistakes in your life, but you get it right more often than we get it right. And so they said this, when the people saw the thunder and lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain in smoke, all that is to say God was speaking. God was trying to speak to people. And in fact, he was speaking to a man, Moses. And when they heard all that, they trembled with fear. Now, awe and wonder is a common response to hearing the voice of God. It's supposed to turn into the fear of the Lord, which causes us to humble ourselves when we know we're not right. We hear the proclamation of Scripture, and we know it's the words of the Lord, and we know we're slightly off, and it's supposed to cause awe and wonder, like, oh, I know I need to change some things. I need to draw back. They had an opposite response. They said this, Moses, we're going to stay at a distance. And they told Moses, speak to us yourself and we will listen to you, a man, but do not have God speak to us or we will die. We know that our sin is not right in his presence, and we know that he's going to be angry with us. So we forfeit our right to communicate with our creator. We no longer expect to hear messages from heaven. We expect to hear messages from you, Moses. You talk to heaven. We give up. And so this continues on. And so for a period of time, for the rest of the Old Testament, it's as if God makes a temporary agreement. Okay, if that's how you want it, we'll roll like that. And they go through a period where judges talk to them. And they go through a period where kings talk to them. And they go through a period where prophets are talking to them. But the mass amount of people have given up their right to hear from heaven. In fact, they have no expectation of hearing from heaven. In fact, here's what the covenant says in Hebrews 1:1. It says, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times in various ways. If they expected to hear from heaven, they expected to hear from heaven through a prophet, through a man, not from God. Heaven's voice is closed to the masses. Now, this escalates so much, and you know me, I like to draw, and so it helps me to illustrate some things so that I understand it better, and hopefully it also brings some understanding for you as well. Let's see if this, okay, this is working great. Awesome. Throughout biblical history, the people of God are headed in a great direction as King David steps onto the throne. This is known as one of the greatest times for the people of God in the Old Testament's history. Things are going well, but it's short-lived because all this time beforehand was man figuring out we can't do this on our own. We need to hear from God. What is God saying to us? Give us a person to hear from God. The problem is, we also have this tendency that's still true today, that when we get on top, we begin to confuse how we got on top. We got on top because of our own hard work, because of my incredible leadership skills, because I studied hard, because I talked to the right people, because I saved my money, because I checked my health, because I watched my cholesterol. We begin to take 100% of the credit back onto our own shoulders. And this is exactly what the kings do. It says that short-lived after King David and Solomon, that basically the people of God had ups and downs. But if you watched the trend, it was straight downhill till a point comes where the book of Malachi, I can't even spell in the right order, come on. The book of Malachi is written, and by the end of it, God stops speaking in the year 430 BC. Right? BC. Okay, yeah, my handwriting is ugly. But you're tracking with me, right? By the time 430 happens, God stops speaking. In fact, I'm going to give you the answer beforehand, but there is a huge gap of heaven not speaking until all of a sudden what's called the nativity, what's called the incarnation, what's called Jesus Christ being born in a manger, all of a sudden becomes the breach in heaven not speaking at all. And now heaven, I'm not ready for you, Amos, get off. Heaven is wide open. But I need you to understand that I'm about to read what one prophet said way back here when things were about to go bad in the year 766 BC. This is what one prophet said. He was trying to send a warning to the people of God that you need God's voice, and you're beginning to think that you can do this on your own, and I need you to hear that God's voice is the most important voice you have. And he spoke this, and they didn't listen, and check out the trend that happens afterward. It says this in the book of Amos 8, verses 11 through 13. The days are coming, declares the sovereign Lord, when I will send a famine through the land, not a famine of food or a thirst for water, but a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. Are you catching this part right here? There is coming a famine where you will not be able to hear the word of the Lord. And you're going to hunger worse than a hunger for food. And you're going to thirst worse than a thirst for water. Because the people will stagger from sea to sea and wander from north to east, searching for the word of the Lord, but they will not find it. In that day, the lovely young women and strong young men who should be incredibly strong and incredibly beautiful, they're actually going to faint because of thirst. Not thirst for water. Thirst because we cannot hear what God is directing us. I need you to understand that this happened here. And when the people didn't listen, we went through a period of 430 years of not hearing God's voice. What does it sound like to try to live on this world alone with men thinking that they're the wisest thing alive? Men and women saying, don't worry, I'm your savior. I'll be the new president. I'll be the new leader. I'll be the new official. You can count on me. We all know we all have got our own weaknesses. Praise the Lord, I'm not the president. Praise the Lord, I'm not the one who's incredibly, who's ultimately in charge, because I've got issues. And look at your neighbor right now and say, you probably got issues too. Some of y'all are like, yeah, I wanted to say that. Thank you. Blame it on your pastor. The fact is true, we all got issues. We all fall short. And when we begin to think, I got this on my own, then all of a sudden heaven quits speaking. And what happens when injustices ramp up? What happens when grief happens? What happens when we don't care for the poor? What happens when the rich rule and the poor suffer? What happens when all justice goes out of the window? Well, they had that, and so it became grievous. Rape, sexual idolatry, even the temple screwed up. It was a dark period of time. I'm going to go back to my notes, and you can go back to the screen. And so what we learned from the rule of the kings when everything was going right is this, that if God's people want to be blessed, the throne on earth must be in tune with the throne in heaven. As long as the throne on earth is in tune with the throne on heaven, you can expect times to get better. But as long as the throne on earth becomes not in tune with the throne in heaven, you can expect a fall. And so this is much we learn from Kings. And so what does it sound like for people who are trying to hold on to their faith in the face of rulers who are getting richer, who are stealing their money, who are taking advantage of their children, who are taking their food, who are making them move from country to country, who are being overthrown after being overthrown after being overthrown? One minute I'm Roman, one minute I'm Maccabean, one minute I don't even know who I am anymore because men said they could take care of it. What does it feel like? Well, I still feel like I'm at the movies in the series because I got another movie clip for you to help resonate. This one's from the movie Apollo 13, because many of us know that when astronauts go into space, you ever heard of radio silence? It feels a lot like this when heaven's not speaking. Play that.
Honesty, this is Houston. Do you read?
Expected time of reacquisition, the time when the astronauts were expected to come out of blackout, has come and gone. But all any of us can do now is just listen and hope. We're about to learn whether or not that heat shield, which was damaged, as you remember, by the explosion 3 days ago, has withstood the inferno of reentry.
Honestly, this is Houston. Do you read me? Honestly, Houston, do you read me? 3 minutes, 30 seconds, stand by. Honestly, Houston, do you read me? Honestly, this is Houston. Do you read me?
This is what it feels like when heaven's closed.
That's 4 minutes standing by. Odyssey, Houston, do you read?
This is Odyssey. It's good to see you again.
That package is the incarnate Jesus Christ, who has come down from above to be born into a manger. This affects everybody. This moves every single one of them. This changes not just the professionals. This changes every single household.
Odyssey, Houston.
This moves us.
Welcome home.
This changes everything. Jesus changes everything. You can turn off that grid. That's why we worship that way. Can I get an amen in here? Can I get a praise break up in here? Jesus, you change everything. Because for 430, actually to be accurate, most theologians believe it's 436 years, we haven't heard from heaven. Oh Lord, do you hear our grief? Oh Lord, do you know that we're waiting in anticipation? Oh Lord, would you speak? Not even a prophet has a mouth to hear from heaven. And yet, when Jesus shows up in a manger, all of a sudden, heaven comes open. Heaven comes open with a flood because we got angels over here talking to shepherds. We got Gabriel over here talking to Mary and Joseph. We've got people speaking. We got God's message going out left and right because all of a sudden Jesus shows up on the scene and he changes everything. Go back to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. But this time I want to finish it. It says, in the past, God spoke. Say God spoke. God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets. That's someone else at many times and in various ways. But somebody say, but. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his son. Come on. Jesus changes everything. Heaven is speaking once again because of Jesus. Is there anybody who's as excited as I am in this place? Come on. Somebody fake it with me if you're not. I don't want to be excited alone. At Lift Church, we don't get excited alone. I made that up. It doesn't matter whether it's through angels, dreams, visions, miracles, his people, or more commonly, his word. He has been speaking loud and clear to us since the incarnation. The radio silence is broken. Heaven is ready to communicate from above, and he wants us to listen this time. We know what it's like to not listen. It leads downhill. You might have one step forward, but two steps back. You might have three steps forward, but five steps back. But when we get our ears in tune with heaven, we can believe that all of a sudden, he's here now. Here now. Jesus, you change everything, right? I don't know what that second line was, but it's good. I like it. Yeah, hope found. Yes, good. You're like, that's still not it. That's okay. I make up my own words in worship sometimes. You can too. So three responses to his voice. Three responses to heaven speaking. Number one, seek his voice by reading his word. This is not rocket science. I know a lot of people, you know this already, but many of us right now in this very moment are going to feel condemnation. Yeah, I know I need to get back to that. I've really screwed up. I got away from that. And here's what I don't want you to hear is condemnation. I feel like the Lord has sent me once again as a messenger to remind you, even just like a prophet, to remind you not that you need to hear the word from me, but that you need to hear the word from the word. You get in the word and you begin to hear God's message for you because God's got a message for you. And so we've got to get inside the word and begin to read. Have you ever noticed how loud the world has gotten? The world is a loud place to live in. And if you allow it to, it will distract you. Come on. How many of you, every time you open your Bible, somebody's got to text you, right? Or when you decide, I'm going to wake up early and I'm gonna get myself a cup of coffee. And this time I'm going to read. I'm going to get back to it. Inevitably, one of my girls decides to wake up early and they come downstairs and they say, can I watch Doc McStuffins? I'm like, no, Doc McStuffins. Curse you, children's programming. Can't you see I'm trying to hear from heaven? That's why scripture says that you've got to fight the good fight for your, poke your neighbor and say, your true faith. You better fight the good fight for your faith, because otherwise if you don't fight, you're not going to hear anything. You're going to forfeit the right to hear from our Almighty God who wants to speak to you. He wants to speak to you. I love that in Bethlehem, that's not where Mary and Joseph found a spot for the incarnate to come. Bethlehem was loud. They had a census, so the city was packed. There was no room in the inn. So we know this. There was a hustle and bustle around the city. Commerce was popping. Come on, ladies were buying new dresses. Hotels were filling up. Restaurants had packed tables. It was loud. There was a lot of energy. That's actually not where the incarnate communication comes from. It happens in the silence of a removed manger. You've got to choose to remove yourself from the noise of Bethlehem. Because I'm telling you that the commerce, the comfort, and the community can cause us to miss the manger's incarnate communication of God. Communication's good. Commerce is good. Nothing wrong with that, but not to forfeit our communication with God. That's most important. So every once in a while, we got to leave the city and go to a manger. Of course, I'm talking metaphorically, but you know what it looks like. See, that's why we all need in our lives I believe that the Bible is noise-canceling headphones. How many will praise the Lord for some noise-canceling headphones up in here? Anybody got a set of these? Come on, I was given these for Christmas last year, and I love these. I wish they were Bluetooth, but I'm vain. Don't judge me. Don't judge me. I got the wire. I roll with the wire. That's okay. That's okay. You got the Bluetooth. I ain't no shame in my game. I'm rocking the wire and the dongle. Come on, I got all kinds of things hooked up. Lose the dongle everywhere. You know what I'm talking about, but don't hate on the iPhone. Okay, anyway. You know the technology behind noise-canceling headphones is this. There's actually a microphone on the outside of these things. And it's listening to the noise in the room. And it's taking that signal and piping in the exact opposite sound into the ears, canceling the city's noise so that I can hear what only I need to hear, what only I want to hear. So most of the time on Wednesdays, I'll go to Rise Up because that's where I like to make my little study room. That's where I do my sermon prepping. In the community, in the noise, and there's communication all around, but when I need to hear from God, I just flip a switch and I put these on. And the noise silences so I can hear from the one that I really need to hear from. The reading of the word is like noise-canceling headphones in your life. Because the city and the surroundings are going to tell you all kinds of things. But the noise-canceling headphones will say, that's just white noise. Here's what you really need to hear. Can I get an amen? Scripture says this, John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It says in verse 14, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. He's here with us. His word is not meant to be among the books on my shelves. My Bible's not to be among the books on my shelves. And it's not supposed to be on an electronic device in my pants or purse. It's supposed to be among me. And so I got to get the word inside of me. Here's what I read real quickly. If you're like, Pastor Drew, I don't know how to read. Here's what I do. There's multiple plans out there, but go to the next slide. I actually have the Church of the Highlands app. If you want it, just open your camera and point it at this QR code, and it will take you to a site where you could download it on your iPhone or Android or any sort of device. But this is what I read daily. And it gives me a portion of the Old Testament. It gives me a portion of the New Testament. It gives me a portion of the Psalms, and it gives me a verse or two of Proverbs. And you can get this done in about 10 minutes if you have to rush through. Or you could take an hour and 10 minutes if you want to slow down and read it. I don't really care how long you spend. All I ask is that you spend some time in the Word. Hear this as an encouragement to take it up a notch. If you don't know what to read, there's multiple plans out there. This is just one. This is what I read from daily. This took me to Amos this past week, and I said, thank you, God, for speaking what you wanted to speak to us. All right, number two, real quickly. Three responses to his voice. Number two, expect it to get personal. Expect the word to get personal. I grew up in a religion where I let other people do the talking for me. Oh, priest, oh, man of God, could you tell God this for me? And could you tell me what God thinks about that? But that's not what it says. It says Jesus came and dwelled among us. Heaven is opened up. He wants to get personal. We don't need to keep it at a distance. You don't need to hear it just from me. John 10, verse 14 says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. See, it gets real personal right here. Don't allow the voice of God to be surmised by me. The voice of God wants to get tailored to you. See, I love Pastor JT, but he's got a different physique than me. And so my clothes don't fit the same on him, and his clothes won't fit the same on me. But God has got a wardrobe just for me, right? You understand what I'm saying? It's a good God, and he wants to speak just to you. It's the same word. It never changes, but sometimes this verse pops out to me, and it's for today, and it's for my circumstances, because all chaos is happening at work, and he could read the same portion, and something else pops out. That's why we need small groups. Because when you get into a small group and you get into a circle, you're like, this scripture said this to me. And everyone's like, that's cool. And then he says this, that verse said this to me. It's like, whoa, that's good too. You see what I'm saying? We expect it to get personal. Psalm 23:2 says, he leads me. It's personal. It doesn't say he leads us. It says he leads me. See, it's personal leadership. For Zechariah, he spoke words of assurance, and he said, your prayer has been heard. To Mary, he spoke words of great comfort and validation, saying, good morning, you're beautiful with God's beauty. Beautiful inside and out. God be with you. Some ladies in the house need to hear that word, right? He says to Joseph, he spoke directions of how. Joseph, like, how in the heck this is going to happen? He said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and overshadow you. To the shepherds, he spoke peace, and he said, peace to all men. To Joseph, if he spoke foresight and direction, he said, don't hesitate, take and go. To Peter, he spoke go, and to Paul, he spoke don't go. This is a personal God wanting to speak personally to you and I. Here's some questions to ask while reading. Open your word when you in each day and read and ask this question: how can I apply this to my life? What is the Holy Spirit speaking to just me? Not others. Some of us got a message for others all the time, and we haven't heard a word for us in a long time. Myself included. I stop and I say, I don't need a word for the church right now. I need a word for me. What are you showing me? Or you can simply say, speak, Lord, for I am listening. And then finally is this, we praise him. Number three, praise him. Praise him for cutting through the noise and eliminating divide. This is what Romans said. For I tell you that Christ's life of service, the reason he came, incarnation, was on behalf of the Jews to show that God is faithful, to make his promises to their ancestors come true. And, somebody say and to enable even the Gentiles to praise God for his mercy. What kind of response should we have to an open heaven that wants to speak to you and I, to a word that's been written down for us to have access to every single day? What kind of response? Well, we should read it. We should expect it to get personal. And if you've got no other reason to praise God, you've got a reason to praise God for his word that is accessible to you and I. You can download it on your smart device. How easy does it get? People died to preserve that word for you and I. And we're not under that sort of persecution. We should open that word and just say, praise you, God, that I can hear heaven speaking to us today. Can I get an amen up in here? Come on, I want to pray for you right now.